Hello, I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good.
Hello and welcome to the SC Ballers podcast. I am your host and coach of the Terrace Crew, Matt Ricks. Owners of Tommy Turbo have scraped themselves off the living room floor and are fired up for more pain. Round 5 of NRL Supercoach promises just that, with hope on the horizon and fear in our hearts. Joining me tonight are a couple of coaches who didn't own Tommy Turbo on Sunday. Our first guest is the host of the Sunday Snap and AJ Brimson Truther, coach of Tubes' Pods. Tubes, welcome back to the SC Ballers podcast.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. I'm happy to be here. I hope I'm not too boring tonight because my team's looking good and I have no trades to do, but I'm happy to contribute and see to help out the listeners and yourselves with things that need to happen.
I was trying to get something in the intro, Tubes, around as sure as the sun rises in the east, the Tubes is on the way back to the top 10K. And you are on the rise.
I am. Look, I mean, as much as I had a pretty good week, I had 1205 or 1200 in the end. I'm up to 21K. Certainly not going as well as our next guest, but I think I'm only about 200 odd points off you, Matt. And so I'm feeling like it's pretty close up the as we head up in heading up the rankings.
Yep. I can feel you coming from behind me. I could hear in you and Jono's Sunday Snap the optimism in which you're approaching round 5. So yeah, I'm definitely worried. I've as I mentioned in the intro, I've got to scrape myself up off the ground, pick myself up, dust myself up. It was a pretty difficult Sunday. Dan started messaging me going, "Who do you think you're going to trade in for Turbo Sunday night?" And I just said, "This can wait for tomorrow, Dan. I'm not talking about this right now. Not in the mood." It always takes me a good 12 hours to get over those Sunday. I messaged you during the day, Tubes, and said something to that nature, didn't I, about Sunday being the worst day?
Yeah, you said Sunday's the worst day because you can't do anything. You're just waiting around for things to happen. And yeah. I felt you. I felt it when you said that because I was just waiting around for that Manly onslaught to come.
and it never came.
I mean, it's such a bad feeling. I felt good. Let's just say that. I felt good at halftime when Turbo didn't come back out. You know, I don't wish injuries on anyone and you know, all of that, but I was giddy. I was a better husband. I was a better father. I was just getting up and about on Sunday night.
The kids saw the best of Tubes, Papa Tubes, yeah, on Sunday night. Also joining us tonight, it's the man with the Midas touch, 86th place finisher in 2024 and currently sitting a very dizzying heights of 139th in 2025. Coach of C-Max 86 is Chris. Chris, welcome back to the SC Ballers podcast. And please tell me what it feels like up in those giddying heights of the top 150.
Thanks for having me again, Matt. Yeah, it's a strange feeling. I'm really not that used to it, but I am enjoying it. So I'm just holding on for the ride while it lasts and hopefully it continues. Everything's going well at the minute. 11.79 on the weekend, which, I don't know, all weekend felt like I wasn't going real well, but it ended up being a pretty good score. So, yeah, very, very happy with where I'm sitting at the moment.
Who did the business for you on the weekend? Or was it more a case of just not owning a couple of the ones who didn't?
Yeah, exactly that. It was just a full team effort. You know, full credit to the boys on the weekend.
You look resplendent tonight for those on YouTube in your Berry Magpies under 16 girls 2024 kit, by the way.
Yes, that's right. So I helped design this one, so I thought I'd grab one for myself. We look pretty in pink, so it's a lovely Guernsey. Very nice.
Big shout out to the Magpies.
100%. Hope they go well. Everyone kicks off on Saturday, so hope everyone goes well.
How good. I had a 1084 on the weekend, so that dropped me down to from in the 900s to the 1900s. So still well placed overall. I think I'm only 300 odd, 200 to 300 off the lead. So still feeling good. I think, as you said, Chris, it wasn't really anyone blew up on the weekend. It was more just a couple. I captained Turbo, and that you know, having brought him back in, and obviously in hindsight feeling quite stupid. But I still am happy with the decision. Like I spoke at length about flipping fullbacks and trying to tap into a bit of variance and luck to start the season, and didn't quite get it on the weekend. But still well poised for the for this week and beyond, and hopefully can make a couple of right moves. So I'm sure super coaches out there who, you know, who also own Turbo, and there's a few of us, don't be too disheartened because no one really got away from us on the weekend. Like I'm only scored 100 less than Chris and just over 100 less than Dom. So yeah, look, it's not all was lost. I think it was quite a good round for Turbo, for that to happen to Turbo in the grand scheme of things. Boys, let's get stuck into the business now. And I want to give a shout out to the Baller League on the weekend. And big, big shout out to Nathan, coach of Stanthorpe Steamer, who's currently seventh overall and leading the Baller, the SC Ballers League, of course, of which is a $5,000 prize, 3K to the winner, and then 500 down to fifth. 730444 is the league code for that. We're nudging 1600 entries now, Tubes. Darren coaches Sharpies, 1334 on the weekend. Very nice score. And I need to also give a shout out to Justin, coach of Ristev's Rhinos, who's 15th overall. So we've got a couple up there, Tubes, in the top 20. Ballers doing well.
Yeah, Ballers are doing well, and they haven't even yet utilized the full extent of potentially what's coming from the Ballers and the what's coming on the website and all of that. So
correct.
Yeah, I'd be joining the league, signing up at baller.promo because you're going to need it to be staying onto those high ranks, because I'm coming and these tools are just going to make it even better.
The ballers are definitely coming. Yeah, we're starting with the live site, which is going to be great. Boys pushed out some stuff into production today. Cannot wait to launch the site in a week or two or three, who knows? But we're getting very close now, which is really exciting. I got to give a shout out to Chris, to producer Gramsy, who's been doing some great content. The movie clips on Monday are fast becoming must see TV, so to speak. And pushing out a lot of other good content as well. We got some break even content out there as well. But have you been enjoying the movies, C-Mac?
Big time. It's been a couple of my favorites. Definitely Tubes' eyebrow movement the other night. That was fantastic. Really. And Jono's reference to Fuller off Home Alone was just phenomenal. So been really, really good content. Absolutely loving it.
And speaking of content, got to give a shout out to Tubes and Jono show, the Sunday Snap. Tubes, the ratings there, they're threatening the Tuesday pod. We've said this before, but it's actually really happening now.
Well, we were storming past until we showed Jono's face on video. So he thought it might bring in the female listeners, and I said to him this afternoon, somehow you've turned off some of the male listeners. So a little bit of a dip due to that, I think. But once people get used to his handsome looks and grizzly beard, I think we'll be back. So keep pumping. Yep.
No, it's good to see Jono's head on a bit of social media. And also, we've got to give a shout out to the Q&A pod, our new pod. So that's three pods a week we're putting in now. Me and Dan did the first one of those on a Thursday morning we record, dropping for Thursday just before lunch. It was a lot of fun. Some really good questions came in and just gives a bit more context 48 hours after this pod gets recorded. And we got a bit more information. We could talk about Paps and Gutho last week with more info. So it was really good fun. And that's just a quick, short, sharp 30-minute pod on a Thursday getting into your feed. So please drop us a question whenever you want to on any of our socials. We'll try and get to it. You can catch us on X, Facebook, Insta, TikTok, YouTube, always at SC Ballers or SC.Baller on Ballers on YouTube. But you can find us pretty easy. Just search us up. We are everywhere. You cannot miss it. And you will get a lot of cool content and plenty more to come. So really appreciate everyone who's jumped on board and given us a follow or a like, or just consumed a bit of our content. We've done tons and tons over our first month in business. So yeah, really loving it. And please continue to jump on board and give us some love on social media. All right, let's get into the Supercoach core business tonight, the Baller Blueprint. Tonight's strategy chat is about when to start buy planning and thinking about Origin. Now, this is a tricky one every year. Obviously, the big change over the last few years is you haven't had to field a full 17 players for the Origin, the major buy rounds. This year, they'll be round 12, 15, and 18. You only need to have 13 scoring players for those rounds. So that's really changed the dynamic. Chris, I'll start with you. How has that change to the game changed your position on buy planning, and when do you start really giving it some deep consideration?
Yeah, that was a huge change. I think last year was the first year they went that way, and maybe the year before, but that was massive. Like, it changed buy planning completely. It used to be so difficult sometimes to field the full 17 or get anywhere near it. You'd be happy to take sort of 14 players some weeks. So that's been a huge change. It's made it a lot easier, to be fair. Look, I always look from preseason, who's got the best run during the origin period. Cowboys, circle them big time. If you can find any Cowboys, they have a wonderful run during the origin run. But buy planning, it's a hard one because effectively you still want the points, but it's always in the back of my mind. But I'm not looking at it like with my trades for another 2 or 3 weeks. Like, it wouldn't affect my trades for 2 or 3 more weeks.
Yep.
So it's a hard one, but yeah, it's always in the back of your mind, but it doesn't affect my trading.
Tubes, the way I'm sort of thinking about it, and I'm keen to hear your take on it as well, I tend to agree with Chris that from a bring-in perspective, it's not really factoring in too much at the moment. Like, you're kind of happy to get someone who might have play origin number one, because generally they're the best Supercoach players as well. But it does impact who I might trade out or not. So like a Ruben Garrick who I own, he's someone who's going to be 800K shortly. He's obviously a premium top three center wing for the season, if not top one. He has an excellent buy schedule. And so that means that I am going to probably want him back in for the buys. Should I be thinking about keeping him for that buy period now? That's where my current plan's at. How are you approaching these styles situations?
I think my learning from last year was I think I overthought it a little bit too much. I think it's pretty simple. I think you do want to start to think about it now with who you're trading out if they're those premium guns, and potentially you want to start thinking about who you might be looking to bring in. I think last year I probably swung a little bit too hard going, I was going to have 17 players. And you know, in there a few real high upside pod plays that if they popped off, you get them in your best 13, and if not, it's not the end of the world. And I felt that there just wasn't enough ground. You couldn't make up enough ground during that origin period, and it really then set me back. I think I used a few too many trades, and I carried too many like rabbits, as I think everyone did, like I don't think I did, but a Sean Lane is an example where you carried them just to have a number. So I think you only want to keep the premiums like Garrick, I think 100%, but I wouldn't be planning around any of those sort of mid-rangers or even looking at those ultra pod type plays. That's my strategy for this year anyway.
So you'd be happy to trade out like a Sean Lane style. I'm not saying Sean Lane's obviously pretty irrelevant or completely irrelevant this season, but that style of player who's going to play in that major buy round in round 12, you'd be happy at this point to certainly, if it's for the betterment of your team, to trade them out and move them on.
Yeah, for sure. Like say a Hubner this year, although he's going pretty well, if he gets to sort of, that 400-500K, that's certainly someone that I wouldn't be looking to hold just because of the origin period.
Yeah, I really agree with that approach from the sense of the premiums. I think you really want to be looking at round 12 and jotting down who are the 5-6 guys who you're definitely going to want to own, who like you said, could pop off, but not so much pods, basically just the best players for round 12 and onwards, for those buy periods. That's certainly how I'm going to be thinking about it. From a timing perspective, I'm not so much giving it, like, it's not coming into my consideration, I've got to start getting round 12 guys. But just the draws are sort of starting to come into it a little bit. Like Roosters, I find really tricky. They've got a really good buy schedule where they've got a buy in one of the off weeks there, which you'll be able to cover really easy. But they've got a buy in round 10, which is 2 weeks before the first major buy round. So that makes it a little bit trickier. I think right now it's okay. But yeah, I just would encourage everyone to have a look through the draws and then sort of map out your team. And Chris, just to round that out as well, like from a fullback perspective, that's probably the most important one, is trying to understand what fullbacks you're going to want to want come around 10, 11, 12, and then that could actually impact some of the trade you are making right now.
Yeah, definitely. And again, like you just go and look at the team's draws. You have a quick look at who plays the big buy rounds, who doesn't, who do you think's going to play Origin. Like, there's a number of things to take into consideration. But with the fullbacks, I think there's a couple this year that aren't going to play Origin that you can run through that buy period.
Yep. I don't think you're thinking about that though now, Matt, like the fullback scenario. So, like, for example, Storm play the first buy round 13, but that doesn't mean that I'm holding Pappy all the way through to round 13 as my fullback, because he likely won't play Origin. Like, if he keeps going well, I will, but I don't think you're sort of planning that out now, like whether it's fullback roulette, but I do think that that's the one that's going to move around a bit and you're not sort of going to hold that premium. But I think in that same, you know, breath, you are going to hold potentially some premium centre wings, like you mentioned, a Garrick or a second row forward that, you know, if you get an Ellie Katoa, might be someone that you're looking at targeting for that sort of buy round period as well.
Yep. CY Wong, we'll touch on. He plays round 12. But, yeah, certainly like from a round 12 fullback perspective, I'd be thinking Teddy is probably pretty close to a must-have that round, just given the teams that are playing and he probably won't be playing Origin. So that's kind of more my point, Tubes, is I'm not planning on bringing Teddy in at the moment. I think he's expensive and there are cheaper options for 200K less. But I am going to want to get to Teddy at some point. So I'm just sort of thinking about those type of names. But yeah, you're 100% right. I think that it's too early to start really putting too much weight into those bye weeks for when thinking about your trades that you're making this week. But I appreciate the thought that's gone in there, boys.
Langmiller, fierce to the right, inside.
Oh,
Bateman! Yes!
Let's get down now to our positional analysis for the week, starting back at hooker this week up the top. And it's a very quiet week at hooker, thankfully. Tubes, the one who's come on the radar this week with Dylan Walker moving to Parramatta and taking that utility bench role is Riley Smith. He's into the starting side for the Eels. He's 234K currently. He's only 2% owned and a couple have traded in this afternoon. He's got a break even of 27. Would you just be having a bit of a look-see this week at young Riley?
I mean, I would be, but only because I don't have anyone to trade to him. If I was a Starling owner and I wanted to cash in on sort of his price rises and I wanted to use that cash elsewhere, I think I wouldn't be afraid to go early. Like Dylan Walker on the bench, it seems that he's basically won that out over Lussick and Brendan Hand. So I think that there's no problems there with going early if it suits your team.
Yeah, Chris, I am a Starling owner. I am giving a little bit of consideration to Starling out, but it would be to push Connor Watson up to hooker. Are any of those guys, do you think, sells? I'm talking about the Starlings, the Mamazelises, the Packs, the Sandon Smiths. They seem like they've all got a little bit more money to be made. Probably, as Tube said, Starling might be the one who's maxing out soon.
Yeah, Starling close, but I wouldn't yet. Sandon Smith's doing a job. Pakes scored a try on the weekend. And Mama Bias has become Mama Holdest.
Yep. I think there's probably every chance that Mama Zealous with that role continues as your hooker number two, isn't there?
Big chance. He's playing great football. Minutes are way up, and he looks the goods.
He scored 64 on the weekend with a sin bin in the last minute. 79 minutes. So that's 3 weeks in a row. Basically, he's played 80 minutes. Obviously, he would have played 80 if he didn't get put in the bin. And he had 72 before that. So the roles turned really, really good for Mamazelis. So I would, and then you got Corey Pax, who's come in with a, I sold him last week and he's come good with a try. So he's got more money to be made. And I still think Sandon Smith's going to, I think Sandon Smith hits 500K before the Origin period. I think he's got a ton in him at some point.
I don't think there's any clear trades at hooker at the moment, seriously. I can get around the Riley Smith idea, but not yet. Just let whoever you've got there just do their thing, make their cash, and then make a play a little bit later on in the season.
Tubes, you just mentioned Starling there. Like, even him, like, his break evens this week's 53, he's 487K. I just, like, it's not a rush to sell out there, is it? Like, I think if it's for Riley Smith, I'd be waiting a week for if I was going Starling to Smith.
Like, it's definitely not a rush. It just, and I suppose no one needs cash this week because the majority of people are trading out Turbo. But if you were looking to upgrade elsewhere and you needed the money, Starling to Riley Smith feels like a way to, you know, get that few hundred K in the bank and upgrade elsewhere.
Not for tonight, but Wade Egan has come on the radar massively, averaging 75 points per game in 80-minute games this year. So he's one for us to have a look at next week. And also Sam Verrills is this year's sort of breakout hooker. He's been playing big minutes at the Titans. He's out injured this week. So, again, once for us to say, they haven't really released much info on that injury, so we shall see. Down to front row forward now, and again, pretty quiet week at front row forward. Tubes, you spoke a fair bit at length on the Sunday Snap about Naff White and his form. He just keeps getting it done. 69 points in base plus power in 50 minutes on the weekend. No try this week. He's scored 77. He must have had a line break assist or something. Incredible numbers. He's 497K, still with a negative break even of minus 11.
Yeah, he just looks unbelievable for the role he's playing for the Roosters. Lots of tackle breaks. I just, like, nearly 500K now. You know, you've missed the boat at him at 130K cheaper. And, you know, he's doing well. He's averaging 65.8, but he's the ninth highest rated front row forward. It's just big boy season. Like, as in, that's crazy. He's averaging nearly 66 and he's the ninth highest averaging front row forward this year.
It's crazy. The guys, what they're doing and the minutes they're playing is just mental. Chris, do you own Naff White?
No. I at front row, I've got Payne and Tyrrell May.
Yep.
And a couple of Nuffs. They're both doing their job.
Yeah, they are doing their job. Naff White, obviously, he's that sort of more depth play. I tend to agree with Tubes that if you don't own, you probably miss the boat and there's probably better options. Fair play to owners. If he can keep that going, then you've struck real gold. You already struck gold, but that'll be ongoing. But I think, on the basis of what we've said there, I think you can let him go. He's going to make a bit more money. I still think that rotation is in danger, but he definitely has gone to a new level with that role, as Tubes has said. Chris, and Adam Fanua-Blake, he had a big minutes increase up to 71 on the weekend. I think that was due to injury. A couple of the guys got injured. Obviously, Iro went off with a hamstring, meaning Atkinson played at center. It's probably a bit of a watch there. He's 666K, break even to 67. Look, I think keep an eye on AFB would be the play here. He's back to three prop bench this week, so you would have to suggest that that he's not going to get any. Those minutes are probably going to come back down to where they were.
I think you hit the nail on the head. He's just a watch and look at the moment. Just see where he's at. Yeah, and also Sifa Talakai got the head knock on the weekend, so he was out through the middle as well. So, those minutes were definitely inflated. But yeah, look, he's probably an end game front rower. If I'm honest, like I want him at some stage, but yeah, not near for me.
Yeah, just a huge minutes. What's on AFB down to second row forward, and I want to start with a guy, Tubes, who is kind of it's a bit similar to the Naff White situation. He's a bit cheaper. Siwa Wong, 424K. He scored. He's gone at 74 minutes per game average this year. Now that's largely down to do some in-game injuries and whatnot. He played 67 minutes on the weekend, and he's got a break even this week of 15, coming off that score of 62 against the Titans. He really seems like he's found himself a bit more at NRL level now, and he's based over 54 the last 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah, as you say, similar to White. He's looked good. He's taken the opportunity. Potentially a bit suspect under some of his defensive reads and defensive plays, but with ball in hand and attacking, I think he's looked very good on that right edge. He's a little bit more appealing at 424K, particularly if you've got problems with some of those mid-rangers that didn't pop early, like a Fini Fuiaki or something along those lines. I think he's a viable option, just that little bit cheaper than Naff White in the second row forward.
Yeah, I think there was a little call to be made on him last week when he was 363K versus him and Nicholson. Nicholson got 80 minutes, and I'm happy enough. I went Nicholson over Wong, but I think on going, I'd probably prefer Wong. Would that be fair, Chris?
Yeah, I agree with that, Matt. He did, like, tough conditions in North Queensland, did play the 80, but I think he managed about a 48. And once Hoskin comes back from injury as well, so not really sure of his role when they're at full strength, where I think Wong's is a little bit clearer. Mind you, the Roosters haven't had their forward pack on the field for the whole game either. So both roles are probably a little unknown, but I tend to lean with you. I'd prefer Wong over Nicholson.
Yeah, poor old Vic Radley can't stay on the field. But, yeah, Robbo certainly is seemingly trusting White and Wong a lot more this season. And like I said, I think they've grown into themselves a bit.
Jeez. The Nicholson one, I didn't realise until I saw the ins this week. Was Smithies injured last week?
He
was
HIA, out. So, HIA, yeah.
And so Trey Mooney only played 19 minutes.
He started.
And he's dropped out. And yeah, but he's dropped out of the side completely with Smithy's back now. It's still a minute watch on Nicholson. I certainly wouldn't be trading him in now after missing or deciding not to go last week.
No, he looks a pretty decent player, Nicholson, and Ricky seems to like him, which is good. He played 80.
Loves his English boys.
Loves his English boys. He was so gassed by the end of that game. It was 87% humidity. I doubt he's ever played in anything like that before, and he actually let the last try in. But I thought he was pretty tough. We'll see how Nicholson goes. He's obviously a hold for those new owners for now, and see how his minutes shape up in the next few weeks. A couple of cheap options who aren't quite ready to be. They're not quite ripe yet. Let's say Tubes are only playing their second game. Thomas Cant, 274K from the Knights. He's got Dylan Lucas's spot on the edge. And the other one is Dylan Egan, who's popped onto the scene on the weekend. His basement price, 199K. The young Gerringong Lion, he looked a real goer, the Eagle.
Yeah, I love a fiery redhead. It was just enjoyable. I didn't watch enough of that game live. And Jono mentioned him on the Sunday Snap, so I went back and had a good look at him, and I really liked what I saw. Like, I want to see what the minutes look like this week, but I'd say he's about 90% coming into my team next week.
Yeah, right.
I really think he'll be a Flano boy. Like, you know, just the type of players that you can just Big see time. Flano loves. Like, I can see him doing that job for them and keep that 50 minutes up.
Dragons did a nice little social media clip asking other Dragons players who this player is as a junior, and he had his Gerringong Lions gear on, Chris. And they were all really getting, they said, that's Eagle, that's Eagle, that's Eagle. And they were pumped up. And they were so happy to see him getting a start. He's obviously a very popular team member. He had 47 points in 49 minutes, 41 in base. He's an edge player, but he's in the middle. I'm kind of with Tubes. I think don't go early on him this week. I don't think there's any point. I think you just want to see a bit more of the minutes there as well. Let's back it up with these guys. But I do think that, I don't want to go for sure, but Tom Cant, he had the big base plus power last week. He's probably the better prospect, but I'm really worried about Dylan Lucas and Kai Pierce-Paul there taking his spot. So you can't go early.
I think you mentioned it straight away. Both boys, they're just a wait and see. You don't have to get them till they're on the bubble, and even then. So you mentioned can't help me out with the pronunciation, Tubes.
Mate, we're in Australia. Yeah. We'll call him Can't.
Can't do that.
But you mentioned it. KPP will be coming back from suspension. Dylan Lucas back from injury. We're not sure how that's going to look. And Egan, you get another look at him this week before you have to make a play next week. They also, I think, Blocker Laurie came onto the bench for the Dragons this week as well. Yep. So it's just a wait and see. Have a look at them both. Make a more informed decision next week.
Yeah, agree. I think there's enough downgrade options at centre wing as well with Jenkins and Darby and those types. Yeah, it's just like it just goes so wrong for you when you go early on these guys and then they drop in minutes or their role changes or they're out of the team completely and then you're just stuck with them. Look at Charlie Geimer. There's nothing really to do with him now. Thankfully, he's just out of the team, but you can't have too many of those guys who can come in and ruin your side as well. So, yeah, I'm calling go early. I'm calling wait and see on both Cant and Egan. Get more information and post two good possible downgrades for round six. Couple of sells now at 2RF. Kobe Hetherington got injured on the weekend, didn't come back on for his second stint. He's 350K, break even of 48. Still 15.5% owned. I think it's fair to say he's a sell. Not much more to say there. One that's a bit more interesting, Tubes, is he's one of your boys, isn't he? Tommy Boy Gilbert, 474K, out suspended this week. He's 11% owned. Is it okay to move Tommy Boy on? He's averaging 54, I believe, this year.
If you need to, but I wouldn't. Like he played 80 minutes on an edge on the weekend. I'm still not sure what that – it feels like it jumps around that Dolphins rotation. Yeah. But, I mean, Gilbert playing 80 minutes as a worker, I think you're holding on to him unless – at least until you make a decision on a really good downgrade or you've got the cash that you want to go up to an Ellie Kitoa or one of those premium second rolls. I certainly wouldn't be mid-range flipping him. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think he's probably a sell. He's played 80 the last 2 weeks and he's gone 47 and 54 in those games. Obviously, Broncos is a pretty tough matchup and it was wet. So 54 is not the worst score. I just can't see him being that premium guy this year. I'd actually probably prefer him playing less minutes for more impact. I'd be hard to have no problem selling Tommy Gilbert. I wouldn't have thought. I've got him in draft and he's fine. Like, he's going to be fine. I just can't. I think like you nailed a nail on the head, Tubes, is you do want to get him to Ellie Kitoa or one of these gun second rowers who are falling in price. But yeah, no definite rush and he can do a job for you. But I think my message there is it is okay to sell him.
He's similar. Like I've got a similar problem with Max Plath. Like I'm not sure what to do. Like, I mean, he scored a try, but the difference looking is just having that hooker flexibility. He's actually nearly the second or third highest ranking hooker at the moment. So, Gilbert, he's meat and potatoes. You don't want him in your team too long.
I did a bit of digging after listening to the Snap Tubes where you mentioned Max Plath only played 50 minutes. He actually got injured. So I think that's why his minutes were down a bit. He's been named to start this week at lock, I believe. So things still could be looking up for Maxi Plath. Like you said, he's got that jewel and he could certainly be a number one hooker once you do want to start getting a few of those big boys in at 2RF.
Well, if he plays 80 in the middle, he's a must-have for everyone, basically.
Mm. Get a bit more of a guide on that this week, hopefully, in the Southeast Queensland derby against the Titans. All right, boys, let's move down to halfback now. And big talking point here this week is Nathan Cleary is back for the Penrith Panthers and some very, some spirited chat pre-pod, fellas, with producer Gramsy. He's a non-Cleary owner and he's pretty bullish on the fact that the Panthers are just maybe not quite as good and Cleary's not going to turn this around. And then I'm just going to have to give over to you, Chris, to give the counter to that.
I was trying to help him out and get around it. I just couldn't. Nathan Cleary, just too good. Look, I think I stated my opinion on halfback last week. It's just get to Nico and Nathan Cleary and leave it. I don't think anything changes there. While I don't think Penrith are as good as they have been, like, I think he's got a fair point there. They've lost three in a row. They'll be absolutely smarting. Him this week, I see a big number, like huge number. I think he's going to come out and shoot the lights out. So it'll be a really, really hard game not to own him this week.
I got a big number for you, Chris. 142. That's his break even this week.
I think he'll get within 30 of it at least.
Tubes, with that 142 break even, if you've sold him or you've never owned him, at 727K playing the Cowboys at home. Now, reminder that at home means CommBank Stadium, so it's certainly not the home advantage of Penrith Park. What could you bring him back in this week is my question.
100%, you have to. And you have to put the vice captain on him, and then when he gets 180, you'll be looping him. And if you don't do that, you'll be regretting it. Like, it's pretty, seems simple to me. Just math.
Yeah. Okay. No, I think, yeah, don't be scared of the break even. I think if you look at the math there, Tubes, he's priced at a 72-point average, which I think we can all agree we expect him to exceed over the course of the season. And I am a big advocate for Chris's plan to get to Kynes, get to Hines, get to Cleary, and then you set and forget, pretty much. You know, that'll get you through, even if you don't have one of those guys. The origin period, you're not going to need them given you only need the 13 players. Obviously, if one of them gets injured, then we can explore options. We only have to go back a week to look at the Adam Reynolds situation, where he looked like this really good buy and then he dropped was a 20 or sub 20. You know, these guys are good players, but they're just not in the class, I don't think, of Cleary and Hines. And they sort of can't be matched at that position. Speaking of Nicho Hines, he's 776k Tubes. It doesn't really feel like, if you're a Cleary owner but not a Hines owner, it probably doesn't really feel like the week. He's got a break even of 65. That's going to be a lot bigger next week. They got a tricky game in Canberra. Not that he won't go big, but it might not be the week for Nicho. I'm not too sure. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, that could be a bit of a decision people trying to think about bringing in Nicho this week.
Correct.
Yeah, I hadn't thought. I don't think he's definitely not a must buy this week. But the sooner you get to Cleary and Hines, the better, realistically. So if you can and you don't have other pressing, like, it depends. Like, this could be the week where you've got the cash. So if you're downgrading Turbo, you've now got a bit of cash in the bank. Upgrading a Starling, moving Sand and Smith back up to hooker to Nicho, you've just basically like used that Turbo money to upgrade. That, like, I think that feels, it depends on where you're at. Like, but if you're, I wouldn't be breaking my team apart to try to get Nicho this week. So probably just the difference in the two.
Correct. Team dependency. Jamie Humphreys, Chris, he's 441k now. He's probably going to lose the goal kicking. He's got a break even of 21. He's fairly highly owned, 27.6%. That's probably who the guy that you're looking, you know, they're the owners who don't own one of Cleary or Hines. With a guy like Humphreys this week, would you be comfortable bringing, you know, trading those guys, him to either Cleary or Hines this week, or would you be giving him one more week?
Look, with the break even at 21, I'd be comfortable making that trade. At the same time, I'd be very comfortable to hold him for another week. You're right, Latrell will probably come in and kick this week, so he'll lose his goal kicking points. But I actually think the Roosters isn't a bad matchup for the Rabbits. Like, he'll probably score well this week. He's doing the job at the moment, so it wouldn't hurt you to hold for a little bit longer.
Yep. Tubes, a couple who are on the chopping block big time. Don't need to talk about them too much because they're both clear sells and they're both out this weekend. Jerome Luai, big shout out. Like, some effort to go 19-20-19 the last three games. And then Luke Metcalf, how quickly are you excited to punt him into the sun?
He went after week one for me, and I haven't looked back. I've been a happy non-owner. I mean, 55 on the weekend. I think, as you said, he's a clear sell. I don't think people want him long term. It's just about this week or next. But I think this is the week for most people for sure.
Yep, and yeah, just again, Luai, incredible. Like, I just can't believe he could be scoring so poorly in a Tigers team that he looked all right, and he looks all right NRL wise. He's just not doing any running, Chris. Yeah.
No, he for a good player to be punching that out. Yeah, just his game just has not been suited to Supercoach. With the Metcalf one, he's just like he's done his job. He's made 100k. And then on this weekend coming, it's a really easy trade to, you know, probably a couple of the guys we're going to talk about in 5-8 if that's where you got him.
So he's made 50k. 50? He's 443 now.
I want to pump myself up there.
God bless that round. God bless that round two score. 117. Oh,
thank God for it.
And he obviously got a try on the weekend for a 54. So he leaves with not the worst taste in our mouths, but yeah. So long and farewell, dear Luke. D down to 5'8 now, and this is this bloke's available at half and 5'8. Dylan Brown, I just want to touch on him quickly, given we can do the crossover of half to 5'8 here. He's 590K this week, very cheap. Break even at 65. Tubes, I'm not keen at all on Dylan Brown, given he had that late try assist and was heading for another score in the 40s. Like, I just want to see him do a bit more and Parramatta look like they like any chance of winning a football match.
Or scoring more than two tries. Like, they just, yeah. I can't touch Parramatta. Maybe when Moses is back, I don't know if it'll make a huge impact, but it'll certainly be worth a look again there. Yeah, can't touch. I can't.
And they got a buy. And they got a buy in round eight. So, yeah, you might want to have a look if Moses can get back post round eight in, you know, for round 9 or 10 through that buy period. And look, Dylan Brown could bottom right out down to sub 500. So I think at that point, then yes, he's part of the conversation. Someone part of the conversation for sure this week, he's 11.3% owned, and that's due to 5.6% of super coaches bringing him in, is Jaden Campbell, 708K and break even at 39. Tubes, I've got to stick with you on this one because you are captain of the Jaden Campbell fan club and a proud owner. On the weekend, he scored 63 with an intercept try. Not amazing in a game that they won. How are you feeling as an owner, and are you advocating for from a game perspective, just from a you're a very well respected content creator in the space, and are you advocating for other people to buy Jaden Campbell this week?
Well, yeah, like they should be, I think. I'd love him to stay a pod sub 10% ownership, but I watched that game quite closely on the weekend. I had so many plays in that Roosters-Titans game. It was ridiculous. But it was a weird game. Roosters were actually on top, I think, for 50 to 60 minutes of it. Like, I know the score reflects 30 to 12, but that included intercept try to Jaden, as you said, that sort of turned the game, and then an intercept try or drop ball try at the end for AJ Brimson. His touches, he just gets plenty of touches, Campbell. He is the dominant half. He's the main kicker. He kicks goals. And I just think that he's going to have weeks where he's going to go 120 plus. And if his floor is going to be sort of those 50-60s, then you just go along for the ride. Against the Dolphins this week, great matchup up at Seabus Stadium. I've currently got the C on him if for some reason Cleary doesn't go 180. Mm.
Round two. This is a much better matchup than Dogs at Belmore, Tube, so you might get a few friends this week. The Titans have an amazing run coming up. So they've played the Dolphins, Dragons, Raiders, Cowboys, Bulldogs, Knights, Raiders before a bye in round 12. So certainly looks like Jaden could be the man. He's available at fullback and 5'8 as well. So just a little bit of flex there, which does not hurt, as we very well know on this pod. Cameron Munster, Chris, is the other popular option. He's really snuck up on me, his ownership. He's 33% owned now. 632K, break even of 77. People looking to get off Metcalf and who don't own Munster, would he be your first stop?
He'd be second stop. I think Jaden Campbell would be first stop. I think Tube sold that really well then. But no, Munster looks good. He looks fit. It's completely different Cam Munster what we've seen last year. He's popping up all over the place. He hasn't got that massive big score yet, but he is on the ball. He looks dominant. It's coming. So yeah, if you're moving Metcalf on, you can make it work. It's Campbell or Munster for me, and Munster looks great. And Melbourne's draws always pretty good because it's Melbourne.
Yeah, exactly. And it's particularly good. As of they've got Manly away, which they're favourites for, so that's not the worst, especially with Turbo out. But then they've got a really juicy draw following that, where they play the Warriors at home in a day game, followed by the Dolphins, followed by Souths, Canberra at Magic Round, Tigers, before finishing before the bye with the Sharks. So, yeah, like, it's just a really, really juicy draw. The Storm have had two wet games in a row as well, one versus Penrith at home, which is a bit scrappy. Munster had three assists off kicks, followed by the game in the mud at Cogra. So I'm with you. Happy owner, going nowhere. I still think I'd have him before Campbell, but I can see why. Just at the prices, 70K less, 80K less nearly. So, yeah, so that would be my reasoning. And I think he's a better long-term hold probably than Campbell as well. Campbell's still got to do it. Like, he's obviously, we've seen the ceiling, but the consistency, we know that Munster's got that, and he plays for the better team. So for me, I'd be going Munster over Campbell if I own neither, but I am looking at bringing Jaden Campbell in this week. Absolutely. Love him as a purchase. Tubes, the pod option to Campbell or Munster is probably Lachie Galvin. Now, he's 640K, break-even at 91, coming off a score in the 50s against the Warriors in another wet match on the weekend. It was really the theme of the week, which we put forward last week, was going to be a big problem, and it turned out to be. But I really love his game for Supercoach. We had some chat on the weekend about how good it would be to get Galvin to the Sharks. Obviously, highly unlikely to happen, but given our trim pod situation. Who I know Chris still loves, but if it wasn't Broncos away this week, that would get me going more. I think he's a great pod option, probably just a touch expensive relative to Jaden Campbell.
You've done well there. I wasn't sure whether that was just your vintage ask a question and then ramble for 5 minutes before getting across, or if you saw that I was struggling with my new webcam. Decided to sort of just keep talking while I fixed it up.
It was actually the first.
Fantastic. Well, it worked out well from a time point of view. I agree with you on all points to do with Galvin, because I wasn't listening while I was fixing my webcam.
I thought I made the points pretty well, so I'm going to take that as a win. Chris, last one on 5'8 list, and this is I'm doing well here tonight on the dual positions, just moving down the positions on the dual players. So Adam Dewey is dual 5'8 centre wing. He's 450K break even to 22, which is exactly the same as last week because he pulled out at the last minute, costing my draft team and costing many classic teams. People just who weren't paying attention ended up with an AE there, so that was a bit of an issue. He's been named to start in the centres this week. I would probably think he's just a hold given that break even.
Yeah, he is a hold. But
I feel there's a big but coming.
There is a but. As you said, we're moving down to centre wing, and there's a young man who's going to be very cheap with a very very nice minus 94 negative break even. And if all your cash cows are doing their thing at the moment, it's really correct, hard to work out who is the one on the chopping block. And, you know, Adam Dewey just getting injured in the last game of the round on a Sunday, just without being able to do anything, it left a real bad taste in my mouth.
Correct.
So he could be on the chopping block simply because of that. He's doing a fine job. He's goal kicking. He's a nice hold too, but you've got to pick someone to get
rid of.
Jenkins in.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. That's a really good point. And he hasn't really looked the business yet, even though he's had a few nice scores. He's got that good floor with the goal kicking, but Tigers are probably in for a few touch-ups as well. You would not be surprised to see Brisbane put 40 or 50 on him this week. So, let's get to that then. There's not much needs to be said about Tom Jenkins. I think he's going to make so much money. He's minus 94 break-even, 215K, starting centre, has looked good. Tubes, you brought him in early. Let's just get a little bit of commentary around that and how you felt as an owner, and you didn't quite get the payoff you were very close to.
Yeah, but I don't have to make the trade this week at a minus 94 break even. I you know what I did enjoy about Jenkins? I was listening to a podcast today, and the rugby league guru, yes, he called him the Milky Way kid, and I just love that.
Like, the Milky Bar content. Kid?
Milky Bar kid, yeah. Yeah, the Milky Bar kid.
You're the Milky Way
good
kid.
Good content, yeah. So... just wanted to give that as a shout out. Like, I mean, if people want to reference my young GI and not sort of reciprocate, that's fine. But I really enjoyed that content from Guru, for sure.
He's a good man, Guru. Not that I know him, but he seems like a good bloke. Tubes, so Tom Jenkins, nothing more to be said. Let's get back to the who to sell. Chris has mentioned Dewey as an option. I actually think that's quite good. Jesse Arthurs and Robert Toyer, and you did speak about this on the Snap Tubes, I don't think either of them are sells. Arthurs at a pinch for me if I had to sell someone. But Chris, I want to pose a question to you. With a few other sells around the traps, like with Metcalf and Tommy Turbo, obviously, could you look at bringing in Jenkins into the flex position or moving your, you know, young GI Shibasaki down to the flex for a week whilst you can get a bit better view of what's going on at fullback and just run that extra center wing if you didn't want to have to sell any of these guys who could still make some more money or have good matchups? Yeah,
that's a hard one. I wouldn't. That's pretty team dependent as well, depending on, you know, who is out for you. You know, if I'm losing Turbo, I want to bring in a premium. That's what I'd be doing. And I find that the flex position this year is super important. You want a premium player in your flex position. So I personally would not be doing that. I can see why someone would look at it, but I just think the flex position this year is too important not to have a premium player in that spot.
I spoke about that last week as well. Like I want three tickets in the fullback raffle each week. And yeah, not to preempt fullback chat, but I just feel like that this week particularly is just a very unique set of circumstances where all the center wings are still making money and you kind of don't really want to sell any of them. But you could just take that opportunity to give it a week. You know, you've got Jaden Campbell and Munster and whoever else in there. Tubes, what do you think? Who would you be selling at center wing to facilitate Jenkins this week?
I'm a bit clouded. I think you don't want to sell any of them, but I agree with Chris that I don't think the strategy is move them down to flex. Out of all of them, I'm probably Robert Toyer. He's got a 22 break even. You don't want to sell him, but I think you have to sell someone to get down to Jenkins. He's going to come up against Latrell Mitchell this weekend at right center, Latrell at left center for the Bunnies, and it could be a bit of a bloodbath for him. So I think this isn't a bad week to get Toyer out of the side.
Yeah, so he's only 300K. I still think he's got a big 80 or 90 in him, at which point that's another 100K. So, yeah, Arthurs is 500K.
I don't think he's even scored a try yet, Toyer. And he's like, he's been fine. Yeah, it'd be really hard, but... it'd be really hard to move him on, but like you say, it is a bit of a conundrum for people because you probably need to make that trade, but who to? But yeah, look, I don't know if it'd be Toyer.
Yeah, would you be a Jesse Arthurs man there, Chris?
I'd prefer Jesse Arthurs over Toyer, definitely.
Yep, and I think it's
extra couple of 100K too.
I think it's pretty clear too that yeah, I mean he's priced now probably what his average is going to be. It's just the matchup. Like, they're like 17-point favourites against the Tigers. They're in for a lot of points. Make sure you catch our expected points content every Thursday to see who are the top projected points totals for the week. That's some cool new content that we're doing, and also happy to take feedback on it if people want any clarification or if they'd like to see it in a different form. We're open to ideas. But the Broncos this week are going to be in for about 38 points, which is 6-point-something tries. You got to think Arthurs is a good chance of getting one of those. And, you know, he's shown that he can go big when he scores a double or a hat-trick. So I'm very reluctant, and I'm in this position. So it's obviously Tamale and Purdue are holds now, given they're going to make more cash. Toyer has the stink of a Purdue from round two, where, you know, you only need that one good game, and certainly people who sold Purdue have not come out the other side of that as well as they would have liked. So I think that's really tricky, really team-dependent. And just think very carefully about what you want to do there. Let's get on to a couple of the other ones who are going to make some money this week, Tubes. And I've got to throw to you, young GI. There's some chat, Tubes, as well. You'll be excited to hear. I haven't told you this yet. But there's some chat about a bit of young GI merch on the way. Oof. And we're talking about, obviously, Geremat Shibasaki here.
Yeah, Geremat Shibasaki, young GI, minus 50 break even. He's like... for those, 55% that don't own him, I think you've basically got to get him in. It's too hard of a watch to not have him in the team. They come up against, as you said, the Tigers this weekend. And yeah, I think he's like his game spoke for itself on the weekend. He looked unbelievable. That's the other thing about me not wanting to sell Arthurs is he's outside young GI. Like he's going to continue to get points. I just think that that Broncos left edge is very dangerous at the moment.
Yep. Yep. Completely agree. I'm on the fence on bringing him in or not. I really don't. I'm glad I'm not in that situation. I know Dan and MT are in that situation. Chris, Robert Darby, he's kind of the one who's completely under the radar this week. 214K minus 16 BE. He looks strong. He's having a lot of runs, a lot of carries for the Cows. He got himself over the stripe on the weekend as well. He's only in 4% of teams, and if he does pop off, he could be a really good alternate cheapy. Obviously, it's just such a premium on these centre wing spots.
Yeah, like any other week, it wouldn't be a bad shout, but he almost doesn't feel relevant, and he's got a break even of minus 16 at his price. So there's just better options for me. But in a couple of weeks, that might change too.
Braden Burns still to come back as well. Not really sure when that is. I mean, his soft tissues are very terrible. Old Braden, unfortunately, he's quite a good player, but he struggles to stay on the park. So yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head. Just better option this week, Tommy Jenkins, and the centre wing spots are at a premium. Couple of pods or guys who are getting to be relevant now. I just want to throw at YouTubes: Bradman Best, Zach Lomax, and Lehi Hopewadi. Lomax is sort of coming on. He's 740K break even and 90. Lehi's obviously jagged fullback for at least a month, and Bradman Best has had a really strong start to the season, base plus power plus some attack. Any of those guys interesting you?
I like the Bradman Best the most out of those at a minus 16 break even. Even though he will play Origin, and as we said, I wouldn't worry about that for right now. It's not the best week with them playing the Dogs, but in saying that, with that negative break-even, this is the week that you have to bring him in. I just think they look very good down that left edge. I know Dylan Lucas being out hurts a little bit. Bradman doesn't love passing the ball, and I think you're just going to see it continue to go more and more to him. I like him as a pod play under 10% ownership. Tua Pilotu, I think, is a sell. I wouldn't have considered bringing him in. Break-even of 62. Even playing the Eels this week, he's definitely not a buy.
Yep.
What about Andrew King? Put him in the circus. Put him somewhere. He's too good for this game.
All right, down to fullback now. Who is the best turbo replacement is the question I have here on the run sheet. Now, obviously, close to half of Supercoach owned Tommy Turbo, so plenty will be in this boat. It's a tricky week for fullbacks. Obviously, we had Gutho and Paps last week with those negative break evens. They've both popped up now. Paps is 77 and Gutho's 40. Chris, personally, I think Pappenhausen this week is the best replacement long term. I would love to see him pick up the tee, though, off Wishy.
Yeah, I disagree. I think it's Reece Walsh at the price, and he is about to explode. He has been so close. He's trying so hard. So for me, Reece Walsh should be number one in that. If I was trading out Turbo, I'd be going Reece Walsh. Tigers.
Do you own
Saturday
Walsh
night.
Now? Currently,
I do. Yes.
No, that's good. That's good because you're coming from a position as an owner who's had to watch him, and you've had to really endure a few tough
100%.
Weeks.
100%. Yeah, he's lost some money, but that draw, we've been banging on about it for weeks. It's still there. He's trying so hard. They played in torrential rain last week. So I think a big score from Walsh and a few big scores is coming. Back to Pap. It would be great for him to pick up the tee. I was super excited about that. Didn't eventuate, but hopefully this week he gets it back. Not that wish he didn't kick well, but I just think he's a better option goal-kicking-wise, Pap. And geez, it'd be good just because I'm a Pap owner as well, just to watch that play out.
What about Pap? What Pap was doing the kickoffs? Like, it can't
makes
be
no
that
sense.
Big a stretch. It can't be that big a stretch to take the kicking tee. Anyway, Tubes, what do you think? Kalyn Ponga is obviously probably still the number one longer-term fullback out of this lot. He's 797K with that tough matchup against the Dogs. But then they have Tigers at home next week. Would you be adverse to someone like him? Or him specifically?
I think,
not someone like him.
I've already given a push for the man that I think that it is for this week, and that's Jaden Campbell. I'd be bringing in Jaden Campbell at fullback for Turbo this week, and then I would be looking at trading him, putting him down to 5'8 next week, and then bringing in Ponga from next week. I think that is the best play. Campbell plays the Dolphins this week. He has the best matchup of any fullback out there, and then you can straight up move him to 5'8 after that. And then look at bringing in one of these premium options with a bit more information.
Yeah, I really like that. That's my plan at the moment. I was only going to do that flex thing with Jenkins or Shibasaki or whoever at flex because I can hold Metcalf for a week. I don't have to sell him this week. I can sell him next week, and then I just put sell Metcalf. Don't sell the center wing. And then have Campbell and Munster there at 5'8", and then next week move. You know, I'm going to play both of those guys anyway. Just means I have to play an extra centre wing, who I'm probably going to have to play as my 17th or 18th player anyway. So, yeah, I think that's a good strategy, Tubes. Trell's probably off the radar now. He's given his name to centre. He's just too expensive, 867K centre, but really great to see him back. And eyes up to see if he gets that duel, probably for round 12. It wouldn't be round 6. Given that's only next week and he'd have to play three games there. James Tedesco, 859K. He's got a break-even of 124. Chris, I actually really like Tedesco as a pod. I just struggle to get over the fact that he's just that much more expensive than the other guys.
Yeah, look, at the price, it sort of doesn't make sense at the moment. If you can make it work, he looks good, but still probably going to lose a bit of cash. They got an interesting run coming up. He's definitely going to be worth owning at some point this season. It's just when. I don't think it's now, though.
Tubes, what do you think on Tedesco? Because for me, I just think he's ready to explode. He looks good. He got 73 points in the first half on the weekend before a quiet second half. But yeah, to steal your phrase, I think he's ready to explode.
Yeah, a bit of NLP from the Sunday snap because he was my ready to explode candidate. I've since actually dived a little bit deeper into him, and whilst he's ready to explode, he's not ready to come into my team. He's got the Bunnies this week, then the Broncos, then the Panthers, and then I think he's got a nice sort of Dolphins and Dragons matchup. So I think that's when I'll be looking to target him, even though it's just before the bye.
Yep.
I still think that those two games into a potential buy you're carrying for and then have him over the origin period.
Yep.
I also realise I never answered your Kalyn Ponga question. I think he is the number one best option that you want as the fullback. He's 45% owned. He should be much higher. It's just the reason I talked about the Campbell strategy is it's just the Dogs this week. Like, I think you want him from next week onwards. And if, you know, you can easily get him this week. I was just coming up with a way to get Campbell this week and get Ponga next week, basically, if you don't own him.
I'm going to leave you out of this chat here now, Tubes, but Clint Gutherson, 755K. You've been very vocal about selling Clint Gutherson. Now, I'm a new owner, and I will not be selling Clint Gutherson this week. I don't know. The crowd obviously listening can't see whatever you're doing there, Tubes, but I'll take it on notice. Look, he's 700. Oh, the king. That's what it was. It was a crown. I see. Yeah, 755K, break even of 40. Very nice matchup against Parramatta and then Titans next week. I am praying that we see the king do something this week. Chris, I know you're in the same boat. He's obviously probably not a buy, though, as a replacement, I wouldn't have thought.
No, I don't think he's a buy. But no, much like you, I am praying he's going to go big at Combank on Saturday.
I'm not going to be able to handle if he goes low and Tubes will just be sending king memes everywhere. And it'll just be
I'm so excited for it because it'll be the other way if he gets up and about. So,
exactly.
Yeah, it'll be a wonderful afternoon out there in the Golden West. Very much looking forward to that.
All right, guys, let's get on to a captain's chat and our pods of the week to round us out tonight. VC, Nathan Cleary, surely everyone's on board with that.
100%. Locked and loaded.
Tubes.
Yeah.
You already mentioned 180. Said, yeah. 180, yeah.
Yep. I don't think you need to talk about a captain after him, but we can.
Okay.
the one thing I did want to mention, because we talked about it and you sort of stuffed it up on the weekend with captaining Turbo when you were planning on VCing Turbo captaining Tyrrell May. One of the things is if you do VC Cleary and let's say he gets 100 and you're tossing up between who to captain later on in the round, I think there's been a lot of chatters, what is that number, that looping number for this year? I think the longer you can then leave your captaincy, Dan sort of brought it up, the better, because then you can actually see who your 17th and 18th man is going to be. Who your 17th man is going to be and then what your AE scores are going to be. And I think it just means that you can then take a lower VC loop sort of around that 100 mark. We've seen it now a couple of weeks in a row. We saw Kalen Ponga, popular, get 45. We saw Turbo, popular, get 23. I think it's just not that crazy to look at trying to take 100 as a VC option. And I think it's worth, you know, going, oh, you know, say for this weekend, I might think Campbell is a better option than someone that plays on the Sunday, but I might lean to go with someone that plays on the Sunday if Cleary's sort of got that, you know, mid captaincy score.
Yeah, if he sort of hit that 90 to 110 range, that's a good shout.
Just
and
to get
it
that
is,
more information.
And that bottom score dropping out is so important. I actually forgot about that on the weekend and it really cost me because I thought I was going to get Charlie Geimer's score when that was not going to be the case because he was going to drop out. So a bit disappointing. It is hard to keep up with, but it's just the captaincy, like we've said so many times this year, is so important to get right. So getting that opportunity with your VC, with the loop and then with the captain and making sure you've got someone to captain who's not playing that week. So whether it's Metcalf or whoever this week, Charlie Geimer potentially, but they need to be playing late in the round. Hopefully you've got enough. I think, I don't know who I'm going to be looking at this week, but we'll know more because we'll see Cleary's score. So Nathan Cleary, clear VC. Captains, I think we're looking at Chris Gutho vs. Parra, yeah. Is he an option?
Yeah, yep. No, big option for me this week. I've got a couple of fullbacks that I'm looking at for captain this week. I love Walshy and Gutho are the two. But I do love a day game captain, 3 o'clock. Hopefully the weather's nice. Obviously he's playing against Parra. He's been at Parra forever. I can actually see the crowd at Combank turning and shouting, Gutho. So I'm very excited about that Saturday, Arvo.
Yeah, well, that'll make a nice change from the booing they're doing to their own team and their own players. Yeah. So, Tubes, I know you're going to be very keen on the Jaden Campbell captaincy as a pod option.
Yeah, so if Cleary goes no good, I'll be tossing up between Walsh and Jaden Campbell as my captaincy option. And then the strategy I just talked about, if Cleary sort of goes 90 to 100, I'm happy to wait to captain Kalen Ponga on Sunday night against the Bulldogs as well.
Yeah.
So they're my sort of...
You're buttering up again for a Bulldogs matchup, captain.
I am, but it's KP. He'll be good. He'll be fired up after that bye.
What about Paps? If Paps gets the T, would that be an option for super coaches?
It is. Manly Sunday at Arvo. Brookie. At Brookie, I think I'd rather KP over Ponga at this stage.
All right, pods of the week, Chris. Start with you.
Yeah, I've gone with Selwyn Cobbo. He's around the same price as Jesse Arthurs, so that's the way I looked at it. He's got pretty low ownership, 5.8%. If you had about 5-10 in the bank, who are you picking? For me, it's Cobbo. He hasn't quite done the business yet, but. Yeah, proven track record. He can score tries. He gets dependent on tries for scoring, but they can come in a flurry. So, yeah, Selwyn Cobbo, I think he's going to have a wowzer.
Tubes, your pot of the week?
We didn't talk about him in the fullback chat. He's only 4.2% owned, and that is Scotty Drinkwater. just in everything, doing absolutely everything for the Cowboys. I know Clifford scored a couple of tries, but basically down that left-hand edge, everything goes via Clifford. Via Drinkwater, and then he's sweeping very well out the back on the right. He's picked up the goal kicking. I know they play the Panthers this week, so he's going to continue to be a pod option, I think. He's definitely one that I would consider this week as a pod option. If I owned Turbo and had to sell him, I think they got a nice game against the Titans. Is it next week? And then they have a bye, but then they have a pretty nice draw after that as well. So I think it's not so much the matchup; it's just how involved he is. Like, everyone's waiting for him to drop. He's still 700K because he just does so much.
Yep. My pot of the week is. We didn't talk about Fletcher Sharp, and he's not going to be my pot of the week, but I cannot wait to talk about him next week. Jesse Ramien from Cronulla. So I just wanted to tease Fletcher Sharp because I took him off the run sheet because he was going to be my pot of the week, but I don't think you can buy him this week playing the Bulldogs. Jesse Ramien has been out base plus power in Kale Iro over the first month of the season. He had a lower score on the weekend in the 50s. But I really still like, you know, the Dogs out-toughed him a bit and he didn't see as much ball. But I really like what I'm seeing from Ramien this season. I think he's completely under the radar because he hasn't really had any attack since round one. He's had one try. But his scores don't really reflect it. He's gone 93, 53, 40, 53. But I think he's ready for a bit of a breakout run. And he's only 587K now. So, again, these centre wing spots are at a premium, but I do like him as a bit of a pod. All right, boys, that'll see us out tonight. Good podcast. Really looking forward to round 5. Thank you very much, Chris.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
And well done on that jersey again. Looking very nice. Good luck for the first round this weekend. Tubes, thank you as always. Looking forward to the Sunday snap again this week.
Thanks, Matt. Looking forward to it. You beauty.
Cheers. Yep. Cheers, everyone. And give us one more, Tubes, just for old time's sake.
You beauty.